Of the Lord be with you.
Glad
to see all of you here today. Glad you made it to the right place at the right time. Yes, we're worshiping at 10 o'clock now through the weekend of Labor Day. So you can spread the word, make sure everybody gets here at the right time. If somebody walks in today at 5 or 10 minutes to 11, don't everybody turn around and look at them and stare at them. Just welcome them and they'll catch on next week. So we're glad to see all of you here. Take note of all the announcements in your bulletin. And as you're doing that, make sure you sign the friendship register as well. Make sure everyone gets a chance to sign that. Hope that as we worship today, you'll notice that we'll be incorporating some music related to since the 4th of July is coming up on Wednesday. And so hope you have a wonderful time celebrating this week. Also means that we will be feeding you immediately following worship. Our Congregational Life Committee has been hard at work. They are working now downstairs in the fellowship hall. So immediately following the worship service, we'd invite you to join us downstairs for a wonderful hot dog lunch and some great desserts. So everyone is invited. You didn't miss the sign up, so don't feel like, oh, I didn't sign up, I can't go. No, there was no sign up. So we'd love for you to join us downstairs after the worship service. Make sure you read all the announcements in your bulletin. Notice that we will be having special music this week, and what could be more special than Betsy Adams on the piano? Right, Betsy? No, she... Thank you so much for playing for us today, Betsy. We really appreciate that. Look on the back of your bulletin, just a word about our children and youth. Our youth now are back from Massanutta Springs, both the campers and the counselors, and they had a wonderful time, and thank you for your prayers for them. We'll be hearing about that hopefully in the weeks to come. Also, we had a wonderful week of Vacation Bible School. I think on our biggest night we had 61 kids here and just a great staff. Thank you to all of you who helped with that. You did a wonderful job. You can see their smiling faces in the picture on your bulletin. And they took up, the kids brought each night some money for seed packets for families in Haiti. And they ended up giving $310, which is enough to provide seed packets for 1 year for 31 families in Haiti. So we are very thankful to them for the way that they wanted to share with others in need. Look now at our prayer concern list. Continue to pray for the family of Elizabeth Thomas. Told you last Sunday about Elizabeth losing her sister, and the service was this past week, so continue to pray for comfort and peace for them. I also told you about Tyler Bova. Tyler, I've been keeping up with him on Facebook. You can as well if you'd be interested. They have created a Facebook page called Built Tyler Tough, and you can go there and like that, and you'll get all the updates about Tyler. The latest update I saw was that his fever had come down, and so they were going to try to do a surgery today. There are a number of surgeries that they need to do, but they couldn't start on that until his fever came down, and so they are hopeful they'll be able to get to that today. But just a lot of things, a lot of physical issues there that they're working with. So be in prayer for him. And, of course, he lost his immediate family completely in the terrible accident. So be in prayer for all of the extended family. Continue to pray for Claire and her brother Dana, who will be having a CT scan this week. So just continue to pray for the doctors as they try to figure out what to do next for Dana. Are there any other prayer concerns or praises that you want to mention this morning? You'll see in your bulletin the little free pantry. I'll get an updated picture in there next Sunday, but this past week that pantry was stocked. So we've got food and Bibles out there. So if you know of anyone in the community who has a need, they cannot stop by any time, day or night, and get some food there. So we're thankful for that ministry that the Girl Scouts enabled for us. All right, then let me invite you to look in your bulletin and find that the next music that we'll be listening to today will be Let Freedom Ring. So as we listen to the prelude, let's thank God for our country and give thanks to God as we prepare to worship God together. Let me invite you now, as you're able, to stand together for the call to worship. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise God. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we give you our thanks this day for every blessing in our lives because we recognize that every good and perfect gift comes down from you. Lord, we also recognize that many of us have trials and challenges in our life right now, but even in the midst of those, there are signs of your love and signs of your grace to us. So we thank you for those as well. Bless us now as we worship in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Let us join together in prayer and honestly confess our sins before the Lord using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. God of all peoples and all times, we come to worship you as Lord over the entire universe, all that we can see and beyond what we can see. But we admit that there are times that we do not understand your ways, and we complain about what you have done and argue with you about what you have not done. Forgive our pride for choosing to believe that we would have greater wisdom than the all-wise, eternal God of the ages. We pray in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. This Wednesday, we as Americans will be celebrating freedom, but let us not forget the greatest freedom that we have, and that is our freedom in Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Christ has really set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again to slavery to the law." Jesus said, "You are truly my disciples if you obey my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Christian friends, be free and rejoice in your freedom in Jesus Christ today. It's a gift to you from our Savior. Amen. Now I'm going to invite all the children to come forward. Join me for the children's sermon. As they're coming, greet someone close by you and let them know you're glad to see them today. Good morning. Glad to see everybody today. Do you notice anything different in the sanctuary today? You notice anything different? Well, this is not here every Sunday. It's just once a month. But something else different. This flag right here, is this usually right here? Does anybody know where it usually is? No? Does anybody know where it usually is? Okay, I'm glad that you noticed. And then that one is usually further over. So, first let's talk about this one. What is this flag? All right, what do you notice about it? What are these stripes? Do you know how many there are? How many stripes are there? Why are there 13 stripes? Because they were originally 13 colonies or states after. And then, what about, you see the stars? There you go. Very good. 50 stars for 50 states. Okay. What else do you notice about this flag? What's on top of the flag? Yeah, an eagle. It's the national emblem. I looked this up this week. The eagle became the national emblem even before we had a constitution. They chose the eagle because it's a strong bird and because back then they thought that this was the only place that that bird was. So they chose the eagle as their national emblem. Now stand up. The other choices? Well, I read somewhere that Benjamin Franklin wanted to choose the turkey as the national bird, but they said no on that. And stand up. Everybody stand up. All the kids stand up. We're going to take a field trip. We're going to walk over here and look at this flag. Okay, what about this flag? You don't notice this one as much, probably. What colors do you see? Yeah, it is. Okay. First of all, what do you notice right here? The cross. Why do you think the cross is red? To remind us of Jesus' blood that he shed on the cross. And then this right here, what color is this? Yeah, it's blue. Yeah, it's blue. Now, you might not think of this that way, but the one reason they said that it was blue is because of water. Now, what does water have to do with us being a Christian? That's all right, Mildred. You're just a child at heart. Yeah, we think about the waters of baptism. Yeah. And then this is white. Why do you think this is white? It has nothing to do with people's skin color. It's because Jesus washes us clean by his blood. Yeah, okay. What else do you notice about this one? What's on top of this one? Is the eagle? No, the cross. Yeah. Now, that flag, that dates back to the 1700s, the idea for the flag. But this flag didn't come about till 1897. There was a Sunday school superintendent who came up with this idea. Bob, you're our Sunday school superintendent, right? So, you know, you can come up with some good ideas that will last 100 years maybe. But there was a Sunday school superintendent who came up with the idea for that flag. Now, what does that flag, why do we have that flag in here, the American flag? Does it mean that we only let Americans come in here to worship God?
No.
No. Does it mean that we think that America is the only place where good Christians are? No, there are good Christians all over the world. That flag, though, for us means that this is our country, America is our country, so we love our country, and we want our country to honor God, okay? And then this flag reminds us of Jesus, okay? Now, next Sunday, they're going to be back in their places, but they're still going to be in here, and you can still look at them and see what they mean, okay? Let's have a prayer and thank God for our country, okay? You listen, I'll pray. Dear God, thank you for the United States of America. It's our country, and we love it. It's where we have freedom, but we want it to continue to be strong and strong in its faith in you. So help us to be the kind of Americans and Christians that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks very much for taking the field trip with me. And now you can walk this way. And Miss Jane's going to take you to Children's Church. I invite you now to look with me at our scripture lesson today found in 1 Peter chapter 5. We've been looking at principles in 1 Peter. We've come to number 19. Next week we will finish with number 20. But today we're looking at verses 8 and 9 of chapter 5, page 1125 in your pew Bibles. As we open our Bibles, let's open our hearts before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, now may your word be the kind of lamp and the kind of light that we need to shine the light on our pathway to show us how we should live. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Look with me then at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, and listen carefully because this is God's word to us. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your fellow believers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. There's a difference between peacetime and wartime. For example, if you're outside and you hear a noise in the sky, like a plane flying over, if it's peacetime, you just think, well, somebody's going on a trip. There goes a plane. If it's wartime, what do? You run, or you look to see if you can see what kind of plane it is. Is it one of ours or one of theirs? You see, there's a difference between peacetime and wartime. And as Christians, we need to be reminded sometimes that we are in wartime. Now, I know we don't always think like that, but our scripture today reminds us that we actually are in wartime and we're in a battle. Remember, I told you a few weeks ago that the New Testament names our three main enemies: the world, the anti-God system of thought around us, the flesh, the sinful desires within us, and the devil. So today, in 1 Peter chapter 5, we come face to face with the devil. So I want you to notice four things that you need to watch out for. First, know your enemy. Know your enemy. In verse 8, he says, be alert and of sober mind. Now, Christians tend to go to two extremes with the devil. Either, number one, they say, I don't even believe in the devil. There's no such thing as a devil. I don't believe that there's some guy in a red suit with a pitchfork running around. He's just a joke. Well, by the way we envision the devil does not come from the Bible. It comes from other sources, really a variety of images. For example, Pluto was envisioned as the Greek god of the underworld, and he walked around with a two-pronged pitchfork. So there are, you know, images like that that are kind of borrowed from different places to come up with the idea of the devil. Then there are people on the other extreme. On one extreme, I don't even believe in the devil. The other extreme, the devil is everywhere. He's behind every rock. He's walking around with me everywhere I go. He's constantly trying to get me to do bad things. As I read recently, there was a woman who said that the devil tempted her to bite her nails. You know, they're coming up with all kinds of things. It's the devil this and the devil that. Well, those are two extremes. I think what the Bible teaches is somewhere in between those extremes. So what does the Bible say about the devil? First, what about his names? There are 27 names or titles for the devil in the Bible. The word Satan, the title Satan, means adversary, and he's certainly our adversary. The title the devil means slanderer or accuser. So he's one who slanders us before the Lord. Now, Satan himself is only mentioned in three different passages in the Old Testament. So he's not a major character in the Old Testament, much more, of course, in the New Testament. If you wonder where those are, you could go home and look them up. 1 Chronicles 21, Job 1 and 2, and Zechariah chapter 3. You know, I didn't know he was in Zechariah. I didn't even know there was a Zechariah. Well, you can go read about Satan in Zechariah chapter 3. Well, where did the devil come from? What's his origin? You know what the answer is? We don't really know. The Bible doesn't really spell it out for us. Some people say, well, isn't he the... Yeah, he's the serpent in Genesis chapter 3. He's right there in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Well, go back and read Genesis, and there is a serpent, but he's not identified as the devil or Satan. Now, if you read your whole Bible, you can get to Revelation chapter 12, where he's called that ancient serpent. So you kind of got that idea in Revelation, but it doesn't come from Genesis. What about his power? Is the devil kind of just as powerful as God, and so there are these two great forces that are fighting out good and evil, and we're just hoping that good's going to win in the end? No, he's not the equal of God's power. He's subservient to God, of course. Remember, he was the great tempter of Jesus in the wilderness, but Jesus did not give in to his temptation, and Jesus later called him a murderer and the father of lies. Paul says that he becomes an angel of light, disguising evil as good. He's called the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who's now at work in those who are disobedient. And we're told to put on the full armor of God so we can stand against the devil's schemes. So he is our enemy and we need to fight against him. But what about his fate? Scripture tells us that he is doomed to destruction by God. We read in Revelation 20, the devil was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where he'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. So what should we do about the devil? What do we read in 1 Peter? Be alert and have a sober mind. You are in the midst of a war with a very powerful opponent. So know your enemy. Secondly, watch out for your enemy. Watch out for your enemy. He says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, evil is kind of personified in the devil, and evil is out to get you, so you need to take the devil seriously. He uses all kinds of bait to get us, usually things like money, pride, sex, and power. Those are kind of the biggies that the devil uses. He's a skillful hunter, able to disguise himself and his bait so that we are lulled into complacency. Went back and reread, though, some of C.S. Lewis's work. You might know C.S. Lewis from the Chronicles of Narnia and maybe even those movies, but he also wrote the Screwtape Letters during World War II in 1942, a series of letters, imaginary letters that he wrote from an experienced tempter named Screwtape to an apprentice tempter named Wormwood. In other words, these are agents of the devil who are trying to defeat Christians, and he's writing letters to try to figure out how can we defeat these Christians. Notice some of the things that C.S. Lewis wrote, kind of put in the mouth of Screwtape, this experienced tempter. If you can once get him to the point of thinking that religion is all very well up to a point, you can feel quite happy about his soul. A moderated religion is as good for us as no religion at all. And more amusing. You get the point? Then he wrote, never forget that when we are dealing with pleasure in its healthy and normal form, we are on the enemy's ground. He's talking about God. He made all the pleasures. All we can do is encourage the humans to take the pleasures which the enemy has produced at times or in ways or in degrees which he has forbidden. In other words, the problem is not with the pleasure, but the way we pervert pleasure. Surely you know that if a man can't be cured of church going, the next best thing is to send him all over the neighborhood looking for a church that suits him until he becomes a taster or connoisseur of churches. The search for a suitable church makes the man a critic, where the enemy, God, wants him to be a pupil. Very interesting the way he described that. Now, Peter says he's like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. When do lions roar? Now, I'm not talking about Leo the lion. You know who he is? The MGM lion. You know, they start with the roar. Actually, lions' roars are one of the loudest calls in the animal kingdom and can be heard up to 5 miles away. That's how loud it is. The male's roar is deeper than the female's and is sounded to show how big they are and to warn others to keep out of their territory. That's the vicious kind of beast who is roaring and trying to find you and devour you. Not snack on you or nibble on you, but totally devour you. That's what the devil is trying to do. Now, what would you do? We finished with worship. You walk out to your car and you hear a lion's roar. I mean, literally. There's a lion loose in the city of Graham and you hear the lion roaring. What do you do? Some of you run like you've never run in a long, long time. Some of you just freeze because you don't know what to do. But either way, you're scared. Well, what do you do when the lion, when the devil roars seeking to devour you? Well, the third point is fight against your enemy. He says, resist him, standing firm in the faith. That means we must never surrender. We must never give up. We must always resist the devil. Now, when you tell me that I need to resist the devil, my immediate thought is the devil is too strong, too powerful, too deceptive for me, and I feel like I'm going to lose in that battle. But see, here's the point. It's not just you fighting against the devil on your own. It's not me fighting against the devil on my own. Remember what I said that Paul talked about putting on the full armor of God? I'm not just fighting against the devil the way I am. I take on God's armor, and God helps me resist him, fight against the enemy. Standing firm in the faith, he says. In other words, it's not just you on your own. It's you standing firm in your faith. I don't have the power on my own, but if I stand firm in my faith in Christ, after all, we read in 1 John, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome the spirit of the Antichrist, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. See, you're not fighting on your own. You are fighting against one who is very powerful, but the one in you, the Holy Spirit in you, is greater than the devil. Which leads to the fourth point. Know that you are not alone. Know that you are not alone. And notice what he says in verse 9, because you know that your fellow believers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Here's the main theme of the letter all over again. If you have followed these sermons in any way, if you've read 1 Peter in any way, you know there's a theme that keeps popping up over and over, and it's the theme of suffering. The Christians he's writing to are not enjoying some vacation somewhere. They're not at the resort taking it easy, some conference, you know, where they hear Bible speakers and then lounge around the pool the rest of the day. No, they are suffering. And they're living constantly under the threat of suffering. And he writes to them about it, but he says, you know that you are not alone in this. Pain and suffering are bad, but they're even worse when we feel alone. Read the story about a pastor who told the story about a couple that he and his wife met and had dinner together with. They started sharing their stories, and the other couple said that they had three children, but their son had died some years ago when he was 9 years old. He was delivering newspapers and had been hit by a car and killed instantly. And any of you who have had the grief of losing a child, something that I've heard people talk about, thankfully I haven't experienced that, but if you have, it's a grief that stays with you, that, you know, colors the rest of your life. And this couple was talking about that. They talked about their church in America and how many parents prayed for their children. They brought up issues with their children. They prayed for them, and then they got better, and everybody rejoiced. But then they still kind of had a hole in their heart because their child was gone. And they talked about the pain of that. Well, in time, they went to Pakistan for some time of missionary service. And interestingly, when they got there, almost every family that they encountered in the church there talked about how they had lost their child, at least one child in their family. And they said that it just had an amazing impact. Now, their story, of course, was different. They didn't lose their children by a car hitting them when they were delivering newspapers, but still, almost every family they encountered in the church there had also lost a child. And they said somehow that re-energized our faith to know that we're not the only ones. We're not completely alone in this. You see, suffering is terrible enough of any kind, but it's even worse when you feel like you're suffering alone. Know, though, that you are not alone. Now, you're not alone in two ways. Number one, Jesus is with you. Jesus is suffering with you. Jesus has promised, I will never leave you or forsake you. So Jesus is right there with you in your suffering. This meal that we're going to partake of reminds us that Jesus is still with us. He has not left us, never to return again, but he's even promised to be with us right now. But also, not only is Jesus with you, but he reminds you that you are in solidarity with other believers. He says, because you know that your fellow believers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Carrie Job is a wonderful contemporary Christian singer who had a hit a few years ago called I Am Not Alone. You might want to go on YouTube and listen to it sometime. It's a wonderful song. But she wrote the song based on the words from Exodus 14 when the Israelites were caught between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army. And the words came from the Lord, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. She had gone through a number of struggles in her life, and she felt the Lord saying to her, I will fight for you. You are not alone. You know, one of the most difficult things people deal with is loneliness, and sometimes people deal with loneliness in the church. They come to church and come to a worship service and then leave and feel like nobody cares. Nobody cared that I was there. If I didn't show up, nobody would miss me. And part of that is sometimes how we tend to focus on ourselves. Sometimes, I know, we all get too focused on ourselves. We call it having a pity party or whatever, you know, and we think about it. But still, it's real to us. So I want to remind you today that you are not alone. Jesus is with you, and I want us as a church to be with you too, to reach out to you, to help you, to encourage you, because we're all fighting a common enemy. The devil is roaring today in Graham, North Carolina. No, you might not be able to step outside and hear a lion's roar, but the devil is fighting against us, and we need God's power to resist him, to stand firm in our faith, and that can only come as we know that the Lord is with us. Let's be reminded by that in this meal that's been prepared for us as we prepare our hearts to partake of the Lord's Supper. I invite you to stand together as you're able, and we'll sing, Let Us Break Bread Together. You'll find the words in your bulletin. Please be seated. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for our Savior Jesus who won the victory over the devil, over the grave, over sin, over all of our enemies. And so
We do not seek to fight in our own strength because we're not strong enough, but we thank you for the promise that the Lord will fight for us. Indeed, that we are not alone. Lord, we thank you that we're not alone as we come to this table, that we are one with Christ, and we're one together with fellow believers in Christ who help encourage us and give us strength even when we are weak. We thank you for our Savior Jesus, who long ago, on the night before his own death, met with his disciples and took bread and offered it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. All of you drink of it. For as we often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again for us." We thank you for all those promises and that they are all true and trustworthy in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Indeed, it was on that night before his death that Jesus broke bread and offered it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body. Do this and remember me." We invite you, as you serve the bread, to hold it, and then we will partake all together at once, reminding us that indeed we're not alone. We're together in the body of Christ. Then as you serve the cup, we invite you to partake of that individually, reminding us that indeed God calls us one person at a time to respond in faith to his Son, Jesus Christ. This is a table of grace. It's a free gift. Come and receive God's grace once again. Let us pray. Oh Lord, help us to understand the importance of what we have just done together. That this could never have happened apart from Jesus' full and complete sacrifice for us. That Jesus Christ, nothing less than Son of God, freely gave everything for us. Lord, help that to continue to boggle our minds. Why would Jesus do such a thing for us? The answer that only comes back is love. Love. Lord, thank you for the way that you have loved us through your Son, Jesus. Help us then to love one another. And to show that love in ways so that we reach out to others so that they know that indeed they are not alone. Someone cares. and Jesus cares. We thank you for that promise and that hope, even as we join together in praying together, as Jesus taught his followers to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to receive the offering now, but you see in your bulletin that Betsy will be playing O Beautiful for Spacious Skies. Let me invite you, as we give the offering together, also to be in prayer for our country, be thankful for our country and the freedom that we have, but also praying that our country would honor God in the way God wants to be honored. Let that be our prayer this day. O Lord, we bring you this day our great praises from the depths of our hearts, thanking you and praising you for every blessing that you have given us. Lord, help us, even as we give these gifts, to rededicate ourselves to you, to be the faithful followers of Jesus Christ in word and deed that you have called us to be, all to your honor and glory. Amen. There's a wonderful lunch prepared for you down in the fellowship hall, so let me invite you to join us down there. Let's have a prayer together now so that when you get down there, whoever the first one is, you can go on and start eating. You won't have to wait for me to get down there and pray, okay? So let's pray together. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this time of worship that we've had together. We thank you for the reminders that indeed we are not alone in our battles in this world, that you are with us and that other Christians are with us. Lord, bless us now as a group of Christians as we seek to follow you and seek to enjoy fellowship together. I pray that you'll bless the food that has been faithfully prepared for us. Use it to give us strength that we might serve you faithfully. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.